Episode 159, Anime Podcast, Red Leaf Retrocast. Hickey, you got something to say?
Yes. No.
No? Oh, come on. Weren't you yelling for Claire for hours on end?
I don't know what I was talking about.
Jaded.
Really bearing you under the bus. I thought we had to scream for an anime.
He would never scream for an anime woman. Oh, wait.
Absolutely never.
What about you, Tori? You got something to say?
I'm good. Ah, if we're not doing it, then goddamn, fuck it.
Claire!
Oh, there we go. Congratulations, JD. You did it.
Yeah. All alone. Guys, just leaving me out to dry.
Yeah. Damn it.
Claymore! No, Tori, this was your pick.
It was.
Yeah. Why?
I mean, like, well, this is going to sound really weird, but I like the show.
Okay.
So that was basically it, and I put it on the list when me and Hickey were like making that list of like well-known shows that we never talked about.
Yeah.
So I put this on the list, and then you told me
the delirious dream of post podcast time.
And then JD said he never watched it, and I was like, well, okay, we gotta fucking rectify that shit.
Correct. My best friend.
We gotta watch Claymore.
Yeah, my best friend. This is one of his favorite anime of all time. He's been trying to get me to watch it for like 15 years. And I'm like, yeah,
you're
I'll get around
welcome,
to it.
JD's best friend.
Yeah, right. He's I've watched like episode 1-4 times before this. I was like, yeah, okay, it looks interesting. I'll get to it. Never did. Just never popped up.
No.
It was on Netflix for years and years. Never. It was always in the watch list. Never clicked on it. Now it's on Hulu. And, of course, that's naturally when I finally watch it. It's for this podcast, and it's on Hulu.
I hope you send him a message that is like, man, I finally watched Claymore. That
oh, shit.
Thing is
I never
dog
did tell him.
Shit.
I'm going to text him right now, actually.
Yeah, remember to tell you, it's just absolutely garbage. I don't know why you subject yourself to this.
Should I tell him it's
you
garbage?
You have horrible taste right. in anime.
All right, I'm texting
your
him.
Your parents should be
Claymore.
Ashamed. Just no. Claymore is fun. I like Claymore as well. It has a nice combination of over the top wackiness and just absolutely dumb shit.
I love the way the Claymores are fighting when it's just like, oh, we're getting cool fighting animations here, and then they just like swing their arm really fast, and you're just there like cling 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 cling. It's like all right,
she has a special ability. Her special ability is move one arm super fast. I was like, well, damn. It's like, okay, Claire, remember you have like 20 techniques now, just use any of them. And Claire's like, shit, I don't know how to fight.
I was
like, what do you mean? You have the fucking Teresa thing. Use the Teresa stuff. Or the
other
the
girl's special
two.
Ability. Yeah,
the synchronization of Yoma, Miasma, whatever. It'd be like, you can influence people.
Yeah.
It's like, I forget about that, dude. All
right, so he's responded. It's good until it's weird. I gotta ask, like, when did he think it got officially weird?
Like, episode one, minute after. Well, does episode one has an opening?
No, it's just immediately cuts to her, like, walking down the road, and it's like, you're a Claymore, you have silver eyes, and you're a witch, so you're the silver witch. Blah, blah, blah. Yep.
And everyone hates you.
And everyone hates you because you're not human. Very, very much the theme of the show. You know what? Before we get into more of Claymore, let's talk about quickly other things. I just got over being violently ill
other
yet
things?
Again, and I played a hell.
Gun
yeah, right. had a walking pneumonia, as it's called. But now you can't call it walking anymore. That's offensive to people who walk. So they call it slight pneumonia or some other variants, depending on whatever doctor you talk to. But anyways, I'm better now.
So the people who walk, all right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, they can't have walking pneumonia if they can't walk. It'd be weird if they called it, like, wheelchair pneumonia. I guess.
Why do you call it, why don't you just call it pneumonia? Why do you have to put...
Because you're still functional and out of bed.
So what?
Well, hey, look, man, that was the terminology that was used. Don't blame me. But anyways, I played a crap ton of Final Fantasy 16. Very much enjoying that anime story that got lined up there. Slavery's bad. Not sure if you knew that, Tori. Just making sure you knew.
No. I watched Rising of a Shield Hero, so clearly I don't think that...
I watched the other one.
That's where your mind went.
What is the other one? The one that the guy doesn't need to get his sleeve at all, but he's like, you know what?
Oh,
I want to fuck her anyway.
Oh my, yeah, it was. Oh god, that show was terrible. But yeah, he's like, oh, I can buy like women. Awesome. That's what he was saying. That's the whole show.
He's like, do I need to? No.
But I could.
Do I want it? No, I would love to fuck her, but I don't want to buy her. But yeah, you know, kiss it, ass it. Like, okay, I see.
God, that show was bad. It was so bad. Yeah, I remember that.
that show is so dumb. I mean, I think it's funny, but like my humor is shit. So,
well, it gets to that so bad. It's funny. It's so ridiculous. Yeah.
It's like, oh man, I need another party, man. Why don't you buy another slave? It was like, absolutely don't need you, but sure.
Hey man, listen, it's the easiest way to recruit for your party. Otherwise, you have to go around and talk to people, and that takes time.
And fake friendships with them, and all those things. You know, the classics.
Yeah, that is true. And you most likely probably won't fuck them.
Oh, got a response. Here we go.
Yeah. Oh shit.
Says, he goes, I don't know, it's been years since I saw it. Well, what the fuck? You're useless.
Damn, dude.
Just like...
God damn it.
Just like Clear.
Just like Claire. That's, you know what? I'm going to say it right there. Just like
Claire. Oh, Rocky. Go with Rocky. Claire at least can fight.
Yeah. Oh, what? Rocky? No.
Well, yeah.
Rocky
wanted to learn sword fighting. What do you mean?
Yeah, instead of the tropey themed animal or like pet of the show, it's just crying little bitch boy Rocky the whole time. That's what they didn't say.
Yeah. Matt,
his whole motivation was to learn how to fight to protect Claire, but I think he pissed his pants more times than he actually held his sword. And I appreciate that the anime goes out of their way to just show him pacing himself.
Yeah, it definitely does. Like, but holy fuck, could they find a more annoying voice for that guy? I mean, I guess it fits the character. But holy shit.
Even the English dub everything was really annoying with Rocky.
Oh, you watched it dubbed? Oh my
I
god.
I sure did watch it dubbed. You think I'm going to watch Claymore in Japanese? I don't think so.
Yeah,
I gotta be the dirty
anime
the dirty
in Japanese. Imagine watching your fucking Japanese media in its original native language. Damn it. That's fucked.
Why would you do that?
No one does that.
That is silly.
That's silly. Everyone knows everything's superior when you get it in American, not English.
Absolutely.
But
on this Veterans Day, where we celebrate our veterans, everything must be pro-America. Nothing is important in this world unless America says so. And it happens on American soil.
Of course.
Yes.
I see.
I'm glad I've educated you guys on the right.
Hey, my team won the Champions of South America, and I'm very happy.
It's got America in it. You know what doesn't have America in it? Norway.
Norway? Yeah. True. Although, actually, that's technically not true. We do have a little bit of America in Norway, too. Or we had. The American Navy was in Norway for a while.
Oh, that's the best place in Norway. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I'll make the rules.
I guess.
That's how it is.
It sounds like you do.
No, America makes the rules.
Also, JD, your microphone is staticky like crazy right now.
No! Okay, hold on. Pausing the episode.
I thought it was...
Okay, good catch, Tori. That would have been a terrible episode. Anytime I've talked, that was great.
Yeah, it would I would have been really annoyed as well. I think to sit there and listen to that the entire time.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. Okay, so where were we? Oh yeah, America's right.
America's right. America, the greatest country of all time. Anyways, anime.
Anime.
My team's going to the World Cup. Yeah.
Woo, the we're World Cup lose. For clubs. Woo.
Hell we yeah. are expecting to play against Manchester City, but we're going to probably lose to Auckland City.
Same shit. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Let's see.
Yeah.
Playing for the money. I don't even care.
Well, yeah, money's important to survive.
Good enough. It is.
Anime? You want to talk about anime, JD? Have you watched anything?
Oh, yeah. So I tried watching a couple shows from this recent season. One of them was Undead Unluck.
Yes.
It's wacky. It's funny. It has its moments. It's a goofy little action show, monster of the week kind of deal. I do like the absurdity premise of. So one of the main characters is a guy who can't die. So he just constantly regenerates broken body parts and all that stuff. So he utilizes that to fly through the air. He cuts his like shins off, and then he uses his blood as projectiles to do it.
That's one does.
Yeah, he's lived so long, he just has an absurd amount of money. So he's just like, oh, I'll just go buy a yacht, and then we'll go travel to Russia. And oh yeah, Russia has vodka, so a lot of good over the top jokes. The main girl, good design to her. She's hot, as she would be, right? And her ability is if you touch her skin, Rogue style from X-Men, you get hit with a degree of unluckiness. That's her little shtick. So the more like sexual, I guess, the touch is, the more unlucky you become, or whoever touches her. So the undead dude, he's just always like groping her chest and try, like, his whole goal is to die, and he thinks if they fuck, he can finally get a level of unlucky where he'll not be able to survive. So he's like, now his whole motivation
the absolute,
is
the absolute fire. Yeah. The guy who wrote this was just like, holy fuck. Someone needs to give this guy fucking Nobel for literature, because that is just...
Right? It's the best written thing ever.
It makes sense. So it's like, I can't complain. It's actually a very good premise.
Yeah. So the constant, like, his motivation now and joke that he just throws out there is like, oh, I'm going to woo you so hard that you'll want to fuck me. So that's what they're doing. They get a... they get a seat on like some organization that's like out to kill these people and whatnot. And I ended on an episode where you're introduced to the council that they're now on. And there's like the Book of Necronomicon or whatever the fuck that's there. And it gives them quests. And if they don't fulfill these quests or a quota, then it will bring some travesty onto the earth, like plagues and all these things. And naturally, undead zombie guy just goes, why are we listening to a fucking book? This is stupid. I'm like, I like this guy's writing. It's just absurd enough and logical enough that I can get into it. So it's a dumb show that I'm enjoying. And then I started watching the latest season of Spy Family. And it's more Spy Family. What more can you say?
Yes.
You know, we've talked about the first season and whatnot. If you're not familiar, then go listen to that review and impressions. It's more of the same.
Did you see the MAPPA stuff?
No, remind me what I was supposed to watch that I did not.
There was a really bad animated fight in Jujutsu Kaisen.
Oh, I did watch Jujutsu Kaisen. I'm fully caught up on what's been released so far.
And the animator went on Twitter and apologized for, you know, everything. So
really?
He's like, sorry, I'm really exhausted. they made me do 150 checks per week when the normal is like 25 or something. I tried my best and made that in a fucking a month, but I couldn't. I was like, ah, man. Remember a few months ago that I said MAPPA should just stop stroking their own dick on Chainsaw Man? Because one, Chainsaw Man wasn't that great. The animation also wasn't that great. Second, it got outshined by Bocchi the Rock. Both in animation.
What fight or animation are they talking about in Jujutsu Kaisen? I didn't even notice it.
Episode 10, I think.
Weird. I noticed
I wasn't
nothing.
Paying attention as well. I know that there was like some really bad animation. And a guy's like, oh, I'm being pretty much enslaved here. So I'm trying my best. I was like, man, all that talk about, you know, treating animators as human beings from, you know, 2 months ago. Where's that now, MAPPA? That's why you should stop stroking your own dick. That is like, oh, we gave our animators 4 years to animate Chainsaw Man because we believe that they need to be treated as human beings and with dignity. And you skip 2 months later. It's like, ah, yes, we're not making a lot of money, so it's whip time again. Yeah, time for your rations. Yeah, I hope you enjoy being chained to your desk. So, you know, it's never good to stroke.
It's always been.
It's fine to stroke your own dick from time to time, but not that hard. So people are going to, you know, call you out when something bad happens.
They do, but I don't think that's really the problem. The problem here is, like, when it comes to Jujutsu Kaisen, Jujutsu Kaisen has always been a sort of problem when it comes to production. It's always been on a very short, like, turnaround. So it's just kind of now we're in that process where it's like everything is catching up to them. So, yeah, now it's crunch time. And it fucking sucks. And people are going to complain because that's standard. They're not doing what they say, but, you know, that's kind of standard in anime, sadly. Like, it is how it is. People are crunching. They have to get stuff done. They don't have the time to get stuff done, but they still expect a certain quality. It's like, it's standard anime stuff, and it fucking, it blows. It really does.
We can point them up and be like, yo, is that you from the beginning of this year? Being outshined by Bocchi the Rock? And talking about respected animators and now having the guy just having the meltdown? Or how is he's crunching so hard? Again, very sad, but you should put your mouth on where the money is. If the money is on crunching, then just, you know, just be honest about it.
Just do it and be honest.
Yeah, try you're to not pretend. Doing like MAPPA. Like, so MAPPA didn't do any favors to anyone by going on that absolutely rant for 4 years about how Chainsaw Man is the best anime ever created because it is so humane and everything else. It is not. Just to produce a kind of mediocre anime.
Right.
With a succession of just people being crunching like hell inside of that place. Which is very sad. It makes me sad.
I mean, it's just kind of where MAPPA's at right now, though. Like, that's the same thing. I know people are going to fucking hate me for that, but, like, the same thing with Jujutsu Kaisen. Jujutsu Kaisen is just a mid-anime.
I don't know. The action's really kind of cool. I like the anime.
The manga is okay. I like the manga. I like the story.
Yeah, the story's not, like, incredibly deep and interesting, but the action and the fight scenes are, I think, very well done.
Sometimes. Most of it is still sort of panning still frames.
Well,
which is how they usually get away with stuff.
That's all shonen, though.
It is, but I still think it is pretty bad. So it's like,
well, the longer the shonen is, the less effort they put into the animation.
Yeah, no, I just don't particularly rate Jujutsu Kaisen. I feel like it's sad because I really like MAPPA, but I feel like that's sort of their MO at the moment and has been for a few years, which is like they make very decently produced mid-anime. And it kind of sucks.
Okay. So, one big topic, or at least loose thoughts that we can give, because none of us finished Attack on Titan. We all dropped it in some capacity, correct?
I haven't dropped it. I just haven't kept going.
Well,
I don't think I ever started the anime.
Okay.
Well, and like the whole marketing and subdivisions made me so fucking angry that it's like actually one of my friends asked me that last week. I was like, oh yeah, did Attack on Titan ended? I was like, I'll be honest with you, I have no idea. I think it did, but it was like the final season, final episode, part 3, really the finish.
You're right.
So like, I don't know if they're joking again, because that was like the fourth time they said the thing was gonna finish, or it did finish. But I expect an OVA or something that they
finish. They did finish the manga. I do not think they're done with Attack on Titan yet, though.
They're probably going to
come up with other stuff, whether that's spin-offs or whatnot. Yeah, it is way too popular, but you also got to remember, people fucking hate that ending.
So that's something I wanted to talk about.
A fucking meltdown.
There was clearly a vocal meltdown on how dumb the ending was. And then there was also a large sect of people that were extremely happy about just the anime finishing the manga and the journey. But this is what I've come to the conclusion of. The people that have been on the journey of Attack on Titan basically since the day it came out, there's people like us that just fucking stopped watching or dropped it or gave up or got annoyed with the releases and how they were doing it.
Yeah. Just there was, for the record, right?
Yeah.
For the fourth year straight, I think Attack on Titan is dog shit, so I dropped like episode 1.
Right. Yeah. I was the one, like, for example, I was
the
one
consistency.
That kept watching it upon its release, and then it reached a point where I thought I was like, okay, the story's jumped the shark. I don't like it anymore. I don't enjoy it for sure. But not an Attack on Titan review. So then there's the there's the people that finished it that like just stuck through it, and that's a large amount of people. I was not expecting to just viscerally hate that ending. As in the people that kind of just stuck through the show the whole time. The people that I've seen enjoy the show the most and think it's like an all-timer are the ones that pretty much saw that, quote-unquote, the show was ending this season here, and over the last few months they've been binge-watched the whole show in one go, and those are the ones that are enjoying the show a lot more.
More or less the people that Attack on Titan brought into anime is the ones that seem to really enjoy it. Anybody that's been into anime for a while, even if you did enjoy the show a lot at the start, I did. I fucking loved Attack on Titan for a long time. But like, everybody seems to have sort of, they either fell out earlier or they stuck with it all the way until the ending, only to be really fucking annoyed because nobody enjoys an ending that sort of diminishes the whole journey to get there.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. It's so annoying, right? And stuff like that. I personally fell out of favor.
They did that.
I personally fell out of favor with Attack on Titan the moment they revealed the MacGuffin of the basement, because, you know, that's like the big thing. It was like, oh, we got it. What's with the basement? Why do we got to go to the basement? Why do we got to go to the basement? That's like, oh, shit. Hold on. There's a whole fucking society outside, and there's so much other shit. There's a whole different world. This is just a fucking tiny thing, and the reason for why we're not exploring and shit like that, and why everybody's here, and why the Titans, and what that happens. Like, this is such a huge reveal, and I'm just like, that is kind of bullshit, though.
Right. It totally ruined the MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Like, anyways. I thought the show jumped the shark a while ago. I'm with you, Tori, on everything you said. I really like how you brought up that people have been, if they were brought into anime for Attack on Titan, that clearly that's going to level with people a lot more. It's going to have the staying power, mm-hmm. and can't use the word nostalgia, that's not right for it, but there's a word I'm not thinking of right
now. When was Attack on Titan first season?
Shit, was it 2012?
2012, 2013. Yeah, 2012, 2013, I think.
Right. 2013.
Jesus Christ. It took fucking 10 years. The joke was Attack on Titan started and finished just in time before Grand Theft Auto 6 came out.
True. I mean, to be fair, the only thing that's being released by Grand Theft Auto 6 so far is the fucking trailer in December. So.
Well, so it'll take more time. But yeah, it's an absurd amount of time for an anime that isn't all that long comparatively to other like long shonens of its kind. Because there's still Bleach, yeah, One Piece, but it just...
Isn't it because... I don't read the manga, but isn't it because the manga is a rather slow release? Is it it's a monthly release, right? Not a weekly?
I think it was started bi-weekly. I don't know how
I think it started bi-weekly, but I think it slowed down.
Yeah.
That was a hiatus too, yeah. So, I mean, that sort of stuff makes sense, right? It's like... That's the bad part about fucking adapting ongoing manga. Yes, I understand why they do it, because those are hype right now, but, you know, it takes a while before you can finish them.
Yeah, there's I can't tell you how many anime I've watched, and I go, oh shit, I can't wait for more, and then it's like, oh, why, you know, if it already caught up to the manga, then you're supposed to go buy the manga, and then wait for eventual anime adaptations. So...
Capitalism.
Woo.
Don't get me started on capitalism.
Yeah, let's blame capitalism.
America's healthcare system.
Kadokawa wants to make a new studio as well to bump up even more anime.
Oh boy.
Woo! Nobody cares.
The slavery trade is going high, dude.
Slavery back.
New studio's opening was a long time ago.
Kadokawa has 4 studios, but they want you to open another one,
man,
for like the longer series. So who knows?
Yeah,
maybe Kadokawa has so many IPs that if Bandai just decided, you know what, bet I'm gonna do the same.
Yeah,
and Sunrise get fucked. Well, at former Sunrise, Bandai Namco Pictures, Animation Pictures, whatever the run Sunrise is, we start seeing a tendency for the next years to actually longer multi-season anime coming out, just like in the 90s, yeah. 80s.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, God.
I wonder if they want to try, like... Nah.
Instead of, like...
They want to try, like, the sort of typical streaming stuff where it's just, like, new season, probably. Something like that.
Who knows? I like the split core that is currently being used, right? Already confirmed season 2, and then you have a pause of one season, 2 seasons, and then
it's a seasonal core release annual, or they take a season off, or I don't mind that format at all.
I've heard this one instead of like 45
the same thing.
Yeah, 45 episodes straight. It's like, oh please, no, like
this. I mean, that can be a little... It depends. The biggest problem with that is the fact that the quality never holds up on those things. The thing that sort of... But I definitely prefer like the split core thing as opposed to like, you know, getting season 1 and then no word and then fucking 10 years later it's like, season 2! And I was like... Contact Collection, The Devil's a Part-Timer. Fucking.
The Devil's a Part-Timer.
The worst part
of the second elite season was
so
kind of
bad. Worst part of the Devil's a Part-Timer is that the fucking second season is so bad. You took 10 years to adapt, like, the worst part of the fucking... Okay, you know what, sure.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
Are you over it?
No, I'm not over it.
Yeah,
but I'm over it.
Not.
I gave up the show. I'm like, I'm not, no.
Yeah.
But you lost me a long time ago. The first season was good. I don't care about anything else.
But ultimately... Attack on Titan, I'm throwing in with that pot of anime where it started out with like super hype. It's real, like, so many people liked it. It's real good. It's objectively good, in my opinion. It's in that pot of Sword Art Online, Death Note, those anime.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what it's in there with me.
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see like Attack on Titan getting essentially cult status. Like, it's very popular with a certain crowd.
Well, it's hard to make cult status when it was a phenomenon there for a while.
I know, but I feel like as time goes on, I feel
as
like
as like 20, 30 years pass and we're in our 50s and 60s going, man, Attack on Titan, what a cult hit that used to be.
That no, nah, fucking we're gonna be sitting here. We're gonna be sitting here like we're gonna be in the fucking year 2050, and we're gonna have like the fucking retro podcasters of that time going like, dude, hidden gem, Attack on Titan.
Attack on Titan from 30 years ago. Yeah, okay.
Telling you, man, dude. That show slept on today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just like us with Future Boy Conan and like Rose of Versailles. And, oh man.
Yeah, it's like those shows are pretty slept on. Like those were some of the biggest shows of their time, my man.
But we never called it. We never called it like underrated. They were clearly like extremely influential and popular, or just
I don't know what you're talking about.
Good.
Extremely underrated, not enough appreciated. Kids don't know what good storytelling is. Like I don't know.
Astro Boy. About, I agree. Astro. Who has heard of that?
Classic.
Classic underrated anime. Heard of those episodes Astro
you can't
Boy.
See. Yep. I mean, yeah.
Don't even get me started on Speed Racer. Hidden gem.
Do we know how popular those were?
I mean, Speed Racer was extremely popular in the West. I know that much.
Yeah. The dog one was super, super famous.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, but we recognized it as famous. We just hadn't seen it or really heard of it. Well, I hadn't anyways.
Nagarebushigin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I think that surpassed as our number one show, like, ever.
As it should.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I think that means we have to watch Weed.
That show is golden, dude.
Here, let me check real quick. I got it.
The dogs have a special text, dude. They have tragic backstories.
Yeah, it is our most downloaded anime episode of all time. Is Giga Nagarebushigin.
Everyone spam JD on Twitter to demand Weed. We need Weed. Not the drug, the show.
Stainless Night is now number two.
Of course it is.
Because
it degenerates.
Yeah, the classic. Fucking birch tree episode. Excel I mean, Saga is number three.
Even as far as hentai gas go, that was special.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, and then I'll have to like download a whole Excel file of all the data. But yeah,
hell no.
So Ginga Nagaboroboshi is number one. Excel Saga two. Oh, I'm sorry, Stainless Night two. Excel Saga three. And just to show you the difference, and this is I'd have to look at all the data from the previous podcast host site that I have saved, but Ginga has 4,940 downloads. Stainless Night has 2,220.
Hell yeah.
So that's the difference between one and two. And then I'd have to look at the past data, but I believe Inuyasha or Sailor Moon episode that was in the 4,500s, something like that. Anyways, the point is Ginga's number one now.
Yes, it's the best show of all time as well, so you know.
That is true.
Yeah. So that was episode 121. Here we are, years later at this point, on episode 159. So hooray.
Damn.
Okay, shall we start reviewing some Claymore?
I think we shall.
Here we go. Drop time. Go Speed Racer! Go Speed Racer! Go Speed Racer! Go! Claymore, Tori's pick. You want to give us a little introduction and everything over this fucking show?
I can give us a little bit of synopsis and stuff like that. So yeah, Claymore. It's a 26-episode anime from 2007, spring 2007. Produced by Studio Madhouse. Action, adventure, fantasy with themes of gore. I mean, yeah,
it's definitely gory.
People do get sliced up a lot.
Lots of limb chopping.
Lots of limb chopping.
We don't see entrails really getting thrown around, though.
No, but people are made of a lot of people are made of sausages. They just are so easy to cut.
and clean cuts as well. All the time. No bones sticking out ever.
No, it's just they're just made of sausages.
All right. So it was directed by Hiroyuki Tanaka, and you know, he's done, among other things, directorial work for Attack on Titan.
Oh.
Season 1, Season 2, Season 3, Season 3, Part 2.
Heard of that show.
Episode directing. Yeah, episode directing,
makes
of course.
Makes sense.
He did episode direction on Hellsing Ultimate as well.
Oh.
Heard of that one, too. Episode directing, I see. Yeah. Basically, a lot of episode directing.
So he's into the swords and gore.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. But not much like main directorial work, and I guess that makes sense when you look at Claymore as well. I enjoy the show, but I wouldn't say it's the best directed show in the world. But it's nice. It's fine. But yeah.
Madhouse Spring 07.
Good shit. Madhouse Spring 07.
Yeah.
So yeah, the synopsis for Claymore from Mal.
You're doing a Mal synopsis?
Dude, of course, Mal synopses are the best. Man. When a shape-shifting demon with a thirst for human flesh, known as Yoma, arrives in Naraki's village, a lone woman with silver eyes walks into town with only a sword upon her back. She is a Kuremoa, a Claymore, a being manufactured as half-human and half-Yoma, for the express purpose of exterminating these monsters. After Raki's family is killed, the Claymore saves his life, but he is subsequently banished from his home. With nowhere else to go, Raki finds the Claymore, known as Claire, and decides to follow her on her journeys. As the pair travel from town to town, defeating Yoma along the way, more about Claire's organization and her fellow warriors come to light. With every town cleansed and every demon destroyed, they come closer to the Yoma on which Claire has sought vengeance ever since she chose to become a Claymore.
Okay, I hate these Mal synopses because it's always like episode one synopsis and then it's just a sentence maybe after that. That's very loose.
Yep.
So I'm going to read you the better synopsis because it's not from Mal. You ready for this?
Never.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to read the Japanese DVD release. Synopsis?
I wasn't going to work on my Japanese today, but Hickey, do you want to one up what I was going to do?
No,
you got that?
No, I don't want to. You to read in Japanese, please.
No, you read it.
Oh, no, I'm not going to read that shit. No, I don't think you can find that.
You don't want to hurt my ego and just be like, no, JD, you have this. Okay, cool.
Now, JD, come on. Every single name in this anime is like Western. Like,
yeah, it's awesome.
You cannot
fuck this up. I can't fuck it up. No, I can't. The guy who speaks multiple languages constantly fucks up names. I got it. A brutal scourge stalks the land. Yoma, monsters driven by a hunger satisfied by only one quarry. Humanity. The dark breed knows but a singular foe. Claymore. Human-Yoma hybrids of extraordinary strength and cunning. The Claymores roam from skirmish to skirmish, delivering salvation by the edge of a blade. Thus begins the twist and tale of Claire. One such sister of the sword, driven by pain in both victory and defeat. A child silent and suffering hidden in her past, Claire's march towards vengeance unfolds along a path marked by violence, solitude, and scorn. In a land where even the predators prey, the haunted hearts of hunter and hunted alike wear the scars of the age. Okay, that's also a bad
synopsis. Said absolutely nothing.
That's actually some like, fun animation.
That synopsis told us nothing about the show.
Yeah, it's more like a trailer to try to sell us on the product. All right, Hickey.
Action, you got violence, blood.
Yeah, it's got it all. You want to watch Claymore.
Claymore.
All right, so Claire is a half Yoma, half human breed. She's a fighter. She's sent out by an organization to... This is my own synopsis now. I'm doing this. She's sent out by an organization with a very hazy past and motivations. Dun-dun-dun. To go on missions to fight other Yoma. You think at first that's the only reason. And the crux to this half-Yoma... half-human hybrid thing that they got going on is if they rely too much on their demon powers, they awaken and become a demon themselves. And thus they must get executed either before it or then other Claymore sent out on missions to beat them. And while Claire is on her little journey, she meets Rocky.
OG Attack on Titan.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It really is.
Pretty much.
So that's the better synopsis. It's a monster. It's more or less a monster of the week deal. As the series goes on, you get more multiple episodes that run together, like mini arcs, if you will. So, yeah, you find out Claire
attack
is like
on Yoma.
Yeah, yeah, attack on Yoma. Yeah, find out Claire is like the weakest of them all. They tell her she's like actually a 25% Yoma. Sure, I guess. Not sure why that separates her from anyone else.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
You know, she only got some of the powers. She only got some of the powers. You don't just suddenly become good at fighting, you know? You gotta practice that shit, and she kind of sucks at it. That's what it is.
Why does she suck if she has the same training and everything? Why is she so bad?
She was just
because
she's
the actual Yoma.
But I never got like why she was exactly a quarter. Did I miss some like
Teresa was half human and half demon. Claire's
Of course. So they'd get full demon flesh into them and she only got
They don't die on humans.
Do you remember the beings, the evolution thing?
Right.
Phenotypes. Let's go,
yeah.
Which is 25.
Right. Explaining the show.
Yeah, I was just like in a haze. Look, man, I've been sick for a week.
But like, it's only technically, it's like we don't know if that's true because it's the organization tells you that. But Claire is a special, so yeah.
They could be totally full of shit on it. Yeah,
they are.
Of course,
they are.
They're full of shit on like everything.
They sure is full of shit on everything.
Yeah.
And that's why we love it.
It's certainly not a bad Monster of the Week show, for sure. It's got motivation, it's got a clear path ahead and a goal. What turned the series around for me, because I was like, okay, this show's okay, I like it a little bit, it was all right. And where it turned around for me was when they did the backstory of Claire episode, when we're following this character named Teresa around. And I was like, oh, okay, who's this woman? I didn't know it was a backdrop until later.
When she meets the little girl, it's like, her name's Claire. I call you Claire.
And I was like, oh, is that her? I assume that's her. Oh, yeah, it's definitely her. And yeah, the whole Teresa background, where she's super strong. She was the former number one. She decides Claire's essentially an adopted daughter figure, and she what happens with Teresa is she wants to leave Claire in a village. She kills a Yoma, says, hey, live here. Bandits are in the mountainsides. They have an experience with them. You learn a little bit about rules within the organization and how they operate. Maybe it's too black and white. bandits raid the village. She goes back, kills the bandits. Can't do that. Claymores are not allowed to kill humans, and thus Teresa becomes an outlaw. And organization sends other Claymores to behead her. And due to events, one of them becomes an awakened, being a super demon, if you will, and
Priscilla.
Yeah, murders everyone, including Teresa. We're speed running through a lot of this, but it sets up more of our discussion.
I mean, that's basically speed running the three episode flashback.
We're not even at the halfway point of the show. I definitely agree with you, JD.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, JD. I think that is from what is adapted in the anime, I think that is the strongest part of this, just because like the entire way things are handled, like even watching it again the second time, knowing everything, like knowing that Teresa's eventually going to get killed and like how it happens or whatnot, I still feel myself sitting there, like feeling that like excitement in my stomach, like bubbling up when we're getting to that part, because like the build up and whatnot is really good. Like even if you do suspect that it's going to happen, it's like, I mean, obviously you can't have such a powerful character just stay alive. I mean, for fuck's sakes, she never at any point had to actually use her power more than a little bit. So
right.
It kind of makes sense. Yeah. But it's like the way that it all builds up and whatnot, it's just like then we finally get there and it's like, oh shit. And then we fucking move on. We learn. We then take that on board to learning how, like, Claire actually got her power. Learning more about Claire herself as a Claymore, you know, like, how she's like, oh, she's super strong. Actually, not at all. She is the weakest.
Yeah, I really liked how the show... Yeah, because you're given the idea that she's super strong, and then just all of a sudden, the show does a really good job of establishing how much she still has to grow and get to a point. So it's almost a reset on your expectations and character, and it revives. That's why this like backdrop and then how they immediately follow that up was so important and effective for how easy it was to watch. I guess the last like 70% of the show, 60%, if I'm being generous with that. It was handled extremely well. That was a huge turnaround. Yeah. I didn't think it got too weird. The motivation between finding the awakened being, the super demon that killed Teresa, is a excellent motivation. It's very simple as well.
Then sadly we get the fucking ending, which is filler.
Yes.
Filler.
It really went Space Battleship Yamato on us in a way.
I'm pretty sure they weren't going to get another season, so they just like, we need to come up with an ending, and then that was the best they could do.
Yeah, and that didn't really upset me too much, because it's like, okay, I don't have to watch this now. I know there's not another season. It never finished in the first place, so, you know, I could understand. Even as a fan, I'm just like, okay, it doesn't matter. This episode doesn't matter. I can't really be upset with the animators just going, punt it. Why waste our effort and time? Just put something out and call it a day. But as for like the arc finishing and kind of a cliffhanger, I mean, I think it did pretty damn good for the time that they had with the show. And the show was good. The show was good. It was very solid. If you were really interested in finishing it, clearly the industry didn't, read the manga then.
Yeah, there's all the backstory about the other awakened claymores, because that is also a thing. You start with the absolute, the organization knows everything, and then you have the usual trope of the organization might be actually, you know, lying to us, and then you have the problematic claymores. It was like, okay, we survived this absolutely fucked up job that we had false information, a shitload of false information, a bunch of people died, and we survived. What is the correlation between all of us? We are troublemakers, we don't follow orders, and we awakened before and came back to being human. So it's like, oh, I guess the organization's trying to get rid of us because we know too much. We know that if you surpass the 80%, as they said, the 80% mark of the Yoma power usage, you cannot revert back and you become a Yoma. But a bunch of claimers actually do it, and it can even be induced, because you have the Niv, which is a claymore Claire saves. She's already awakened. She's losing her consciousness, and Claire's like, no, it's okay. You can come back and become a human again. And she pulls her back from the awakened part. Which is like, okay, unless you're a dude. But you can awaken afterwards as well, as we've seen with the lion dude, the king, the silver king.
Right.
The names are super cool. The nicknames are super cool. Teresa of the Faint Smile. She's just like, oh. They sound like Dark Souls bosses.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They do. Of, yeah. Yeah, now that you say it out loud, they really do. Yeah, and when it comes to, they don't do it all the time, but when it comes to important, like, awakened being fights in the last two thirds of the show, generally, they show us an encounter and a short reasoning on why these ex-Claymore become awakened beings, and it doesn't take as much as you think it does. They just get pissed off. They lose their humanity. Look, early in the show, they describe the reasoning is, and this really bothered me throughout the show, is a Claymore becomes an awakened being when they like can't suppress their sexual motivations, and that's why men were so incompatible with becoming Claymore. And I'm like, okay, when I first heard it, I go, that makes total sense. But then as the show goes on, one after another, it's just, well, usually it's because the Claymores end up, the women use their powers too much, or they get too injured and they have to use their power, or they're forced into it, or really just an emotional breakdown. It has like, it doesn't have that much to do with sexuality. And I was like, okay, maybe for the men it involves sexuality.
That's like a
sexuality.
Weird translation.
You think it's a translation like issue a with the dub I was watching?
Yeah, because the on the sub, what they're specifically talking about is the act of awakening is akin to that of sexual pleasure. Like it's a feeling similar. And then the moment you let that take over, you can't go back, or you don't want to go back. Because it's like you're letting that feeling of like pleasure and power just overwhelm you.
Oh, you maybe don't wanna go back. Maybe I just took it too literal then. Because that I remember the dub did say that. I do remember that vividly. But
yeah, no, they do specifically mention sexuality. But it's like it's in the sense like it's a feeling. Like they describe it as like it's a feeling akin to sexual pleasure. Not
okay. That's a very key word to focus on. It's just akin to it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All
it's
right.
just me and it's not. It's literal. Just me and Hickey that's joking about it. It was just me and Hickey that was joking about it with like the sexual pleasure, like you know, awakening being post nut clarity and whatnot.
Okay. All right. So I was just taking it too literal. I should. Okay. That makes it better. It does. That gives me clarity.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that part because I like that because it sort of it put into a perspective because like we have a bunch of fighters, right, that are fighting Yoma, but they're all women. And most of us would probably immediately be like, why wouldn't you have men? Wouldn't men be better fighters? And for a long time or for a while, they don't really address it until they suddenly go like, oh, yeah, no, we did try with men. It's just that men are a lot worse at suppressing their powers because the moment they start releasing it, they want more. They're greedier. So, yeah. They awaken faster. So we were like, we kind of just abolished the man side of things.
Yeah, it was a very simple explanation that was extremely effective for the lore of the show.
It's true, as well. Who knows?
Yeah, is it really true? Is it like, do you have to totally give up on the men? Maybe not, but I mean,
there are a lot of awakened men, so you know, we have to assume that they're probably still creating some of them.
Yeah, and yeah, what's stopping a man from like going out and in a desperate situation, like eating demon flesh or something, and them becoming a Claymore themselves? And yeah, I mean, there's other ways around it.
Yeah, well, the main antagonist is a man.
Yeah, yep. There's quite a few bad dudes in this world.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's nice to see. One thing interesting about Claymore is just that everything is just set up by the eyes of the organization and Claire. And Claire doesn't give a shit about anything that's happening around her because the only thing she does is like, I need to kill that bitch of Priscilla. Need to get my revenge. You've been like, fuck this little boy, but that's beyond the point. That the world start crumbling around you. The set of rules used by the organization to set this world upon starts to kind of break off and break apart. Claire awakens and comes back, reverts. Then you have the number four. There's like Ophelia, her name is. That she absolutely hates awakened beings. And right after Claire discovers there are other Claymores that awaken, and they're like, okay, we're going to be our secret society and stuff. She gets paired with Ophelia, and Ophelia fights with Claire, also awakens. And after she's already awakened, she kind of like maintains her sanity. She doesn't like become a beast or whatever. So the world, little by little, go crumbling, crumbling, crumbling. Then you go to the Northern Territory Wars. And it's like, oh, I thought all those awakened beings and whatever, they're just beasts, but they are organized. They are working on a militaristically style of operation and organization with a clear state of chain of command. So the rules at the beginning of the anime kind of like slowly rolled throughout the series, and that's really cool to watch. It's like just like you, just like the characters in the series, you kind of start to get your eyes cleansed from the lies of the organization. Maybe that was something the author decided it was on purpose. I don't think it is. I think it's just a side product of how the story is written accidentally, but it's still very cool to pay attention to that. You go from a state of clarity to a state of then a fabricated lie that is the beginning of the series, which is really cool. I think it's really cool. Except the last three episodes. That is a fabricated lie.
Yes. But, it's a fabricated lie, but yeah.
But it's okay. It's a good ending. I still prefer the manga. Definitely read the manga. Because it is, when I say, like, when we talk about, oh, this is kind of like Attack on Titan, it kind of is. There is a wall. There is giants. It becomes really bonkers. This effect of the reality just becoming dust in front of you is potentialized by everything that happens after the anime ends, which is kind of sad. Never became a second season because you could definitely finish Claymore in 12 more episodes.
Yeah, it wouldn't take that much to probably finish the series. So in perspective of how popular this is, if you go to my anime list, it has it's within the top 300 in popularity with 660,000 members. So it's up there. And for a show from 2007 that isn't like a Death Note or something of that era, that's a good decent amount of people that know have seen this.
Like it was very popular, and you know, it also had a lot of benefit of like early like YouTube and whatnot, anime YouTube, where it was like people were pushing the show a lot. Especially with the introduction of Attack on Titan. Yeah, with the introduction of Attack on Titan, a lot of people were pushing people off to Claymore as like, you know, if you like Attack on Titan, you should watch Claymore.
I see.
Funny, kind of funny that how that worked out.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, Claymore is definitely one of those shows that, like, I wouldn't mind seeing someone try to pick this up again to finish it. Like, just see it like a modern adaptation. Yeah. But, like, that'd be cool to see.
Netflix, just like they did with that other one.
I was just about to say, like, this feels like it's within Netflix fucking ice, you know?
Right.
Their style shows. They like, their darker, violent
shows. Netflix, Pluto just came out on Netflix.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
Yeah, I need to watch that. I meant to start that the other day, but I had to finish Claymore.
I mean, okay, yes. That's fair.
Any notes?
At least it wasn't completely wasted time until the last few episodes, but
whatever. The OST is really good, but the usage of the OST is absolutely annoying. Like, nothing is happening, and you're just going to have this really obnoxious metal. The music's not obnoxious, but they use it. People just having a conversation, and you're just going to have, like, this metal song in the back, like, this power metal playing in the back. But there's nothing happening. They're just talking about, I don't know, like, they're eating breakfast, and there's just going to be a hard, like, hard rock music playing. And a lot of times it would be confusing if I had a video or something playing on the background that I kind of forgot about or started randomly. Because, like, there's no way this OST is playing during, like, I don't know, they're explaining something, and they're just going to have a battle OST. I was like, oh, maybe YouTube start playing a music video or something. And then I'll just look around, like, oh, no, that is actually the episode. That is a very not good way of using the OST.
There's a lot of technical issues with Claymore, not even just the music. Like, sound effect work in this show is terrible.
Ku-klunk, ku-klunk.
It's really bad, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not Berserk 2016 level, but it's kind
of... No, it is not, but that's... Yeah,
Everything... It's not a lot better. Nothing is sharp. There's no sharp sounds.
Yeah.
Everything is dual.
A lot of times as well. Like, same thing. Stuff getting destroyed, no matter what it is, everything gets destroyed has the exact same impact sound effect. Like, it doesn't matter if it's wood or stone or metal. It's like, okay, I guess just everything's exploding. Yeah, whatever. So it's like, there's a lot of, like, it's definitely, you know, I definitely understand why they probably were like, this is only getting one season. They were probably working with very limited resources. We're like, people aren't really going to like this anyways. Like, it's just a low effort production. And then people liked it. And they're like, well, fuck. Shit.
Buy the manga.
Buy the manga, I guess. But yeah, nah. Like, I mean, I like Claymore. There's a lot of good to Claymore. Production-wise, there's issues. Like, animation isn't great. A lot of the fighting is like, it's more silly than anything else. Like, just like quick drawings of like arms flailing around. Not even, it's just like, it's just lines and shit going around. Lots of weird, like, cling, 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 cling. Like, yep, cool. We're fighting. Yep, 100%. But every once in a while, they do pull out, like, you know, I have to say realistic fight, because it isn't realistic, but, like, at least more believable. Like, I'm going in for an attack. Jump slash!
The trust of it. What, the trusty? Always jump slash.
Jump slash. Hell yeah. Ichigo would be proud.
Yeah.
But yeah, nah. Sound effect work and general effects work in production. So I'm going to be nice and say it's very off its time.
Oh, for sure. Like, this you said this earlier, but this is definitely a show that should and could be picked up for a conceivable remake and to finish the series, and it would do the show a lot of justice.
Hmm.
And I think it'd be worth it. I think it's one of those few that, you know, unlike, say, Kara no Kyokai, which we recently reviewed, like, that show still holds up very well. Not really much you can do unless you just straight up finish I guess it was finished. But, like, so much production values in Claymore are so just low rent and low end that the slightest upgrade would do it a tremendous job. And making it just that much better.
Yeah. For all the stuff that they keep bringing back that absolutely doesn't need to come back again, this is one that it doesn't strictly need it. It's not the show that needs it the most, but it would be nice.
It would be cool, yeah. It would be nice.
Yeah.
Hyper gore, hyper sexualized Netflix show? That would be super cool.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they could do a lot more with it in 2023 than
they can. They can draw actual bones inside of the limbs.
Not every character would end up looking the same. Hopefully,
that's also a manga. That's a manga problem. Yeah, that's a manga problem. Like, you can actually tell people apart in this show, even though. Yeah, you can tell them apart in the show, even though they all look like they're based on the exact same thing. They just have different hair. But when you look at the manga, there are certain sections in the manga where the author drew, like, he likes this, like, really, like, light drawing style where it's, like, everything looks really faded. He really likes that. And when he does that shit,
makes sense.
And he swaps when he swaps from character to character, you can't tell who anyone is. It doesn't matter if it's clear, if it's Araki, if it's anyone else. It's like, who the fuck is this?
Especially from behind.
Who am I fucking,
whenever
who
you get
am
a back shot,
yeah.
You're just like, I don't know who that is until the camera switches to the front.
It's like, that could be anyone.
So,
but yeah, nah, that's just an art style problem. That's how it is. That's how the author drew them. That's the original style.
Yeah, so cool show, cool story. Well done in quite a few aspects. I'm ready to score this.
But
This might sound a little harsh, but there are a lot of drawbacks to the show. Doesn't finish, for one thing. Even the season doesn't finish, so to say. We want to call it that. it does lack a lot of things, so this is a very good 7 out of 10 for me.
7 out of 10, yeah. I definitely can't get behind that. When I watched this originally, I really liked it. I did not like the ending, not one bit. But no. I ended up giving it an 8 because I was like, I managed to convince myself that I was like, ah, but all the good stuff was so good that I liked it so much that like I'm not gonna let the ending ruin it for me. And then when I watched it now, I'm more like, I'm a little bit more sour. But it is still, I still feel like a lot of the stuff that I liked back then still holds up now. I still feel like it's just well done. So it's like, I still think it's a good show. It's not amazing. So I also ended up lowering my score to 7. But like,
oh, hey, all right.
Again, that is mostly because of the ending. Like, the ending is, the ending is just not it. So, like, but everything else other than that, like, yeah, 100%. Like, you should fucking watch all of this. Drop, like, the last 2.5 episodes, roughly, and then just go pick up the manga from there. Like, I promise, it is a good time.
Yeah, finish episode 24 and then just call it a day. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll keep my... So I'm just going to keep my original score 7 as well.
Hey, 7, 7, 7.
Yeah. I agree mostly with what Tori said, but there's also a few problems in the writing that shows up in the end there. Author didn't do a really good redemption story for anyone, and so it kind of comes off as Raki being a kind of annoying character. It's not the point of Raki, but, you know, him being very close to Priscilla, the new Priscilla, and then Claire, and him being like, oh, no, don't kill anyone. You guys need to stop fighting. Ooh. Again, not a very good redemption, like double redemption arc, as they try to do. It is what it is. Sometimes it pans out, sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't in the series. It does not in the manga. It would be easier if Claire was just very, very certain of what she should do and kill Priscilla, for example, at that moment in time, or at least like fatally wound her or like take an arm at least. And then you have like they fight against a one-armed Priscilla at the end, something like that. But it's okay. OST is really good. The usage of it isn't. There are problems with animation, but it is a good show. At the end of the day, I do believe this is a show that should be watched because it's fun. And that's usually sometimes, most of the time, is what you need in an anime. The anime being fun. Not super philosophical, not super sexualized, just a simplistic yet effective story being told to the best they could in 2007 with, I don't know, maybe a paperclip and some rations, some expired army rations to survive in the hell of the animation industry that was 2007, the recuperation of the Japanese economy. God, that was a time. Just a lot of good anime came out in 2007, but man, that was hell.
They had to do something.
Someone who should carry the economy.
Yeah. And post not clarity. That also probably helped with this.
I don't know. I don't want to think of all that.
Okay, so 777s. Our next episode is going to be, let's see, I think it's your pick, Hickey.
It is. We're going to suffer. Let's go. We're watching Rosen Maiden. The battle shonen ? With porcelain dolls.
Yeah, this has a lot of like Dutch and German in it, doesn't it? Like with all the
Gash Bell, but with, yeah, it's just Gash Bell, but used porcelain dolls.
Oh boy. All right.
I see.
I guess this is like a Chobits type shit.
Nah. Never mind. I'm just gonna shut up.
Okay.
Stop
talking. All right.
Tony understood what I was going to say, so I'm just gonna stop right here.
Okay. So that does it for this episode. Look forward to the next one. See you, everybody.
Peace.
Goodbye.